ho, ho.
Whoa.
Welcome to episode 45 of the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com.
Santa, you're so scary.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired.
Waka waka.
It's episode 45. We've obviously taken a brief hiatus for a number of reasons. One, I lost my eye in a terrible cooking accident. I dropped a Swedish meatball into a vat of boiling oil, and the boiling oil splashed up into my eye, and I lost my eye. So now I wear an eye patch. And I'm going in for ocular surgery in order to get a bionic eye in probably about 2 weeks.
That's ironically the name of my metal band.
Ocular surgery?
Yeah.
Ocular surgery. That's awesome. Man.
They're really good.
Can I be your mascot?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So actually, everything I just said is total bullshit.
Really, you've just been playing Star Wars.
Yeah, I played Star Wars for a bit.
Scott's just had a heinous case of the hemorrhoids, so we haven't been able to sit for a podcast.
Yeah, those are pretty wicked.
I haven't sat down in a week.
Oh, man.
So this is really comfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you really had the roids?
But my calves are on fire.
He hasn't.
No, he hasn't really had the roids. Oh, man.
I'm just really good at delivering a dry joke.
I thought we were going to be like bros in the roids because, you know.
Only you, sir.
It happens to the best of us.
Only you.
I don't think I'd be able to do my job if I couldn't sit.
You sit?
Yeah. How sad is that?
I don't think I'd be able to do my job sitting.
Yeah. You can sit. It's just sitting in pain.
Yeah. You get a donut.
Can't you get a donut to sit on?
So that your butthole doesn't have to touch the chair.
For our listeners, there are a bunch of jokes there that you just missed.
Yes. Oh, we're so funny. So, it's been a pretty wild and crazy month. It's totally slammed with work. Obviously, I'm off now for a little bit, which is nice. I slept 11 hours last night, which is awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah. Finally starting to feel like a living being again, as opposed to a dead being. What about you guys? What's been going on?
Scott?
I was just going to comment that if you want to know how long it's been since we've actually done NA business, I think the last thing we did was watch the video game awards.
Oh, the VGAs.
This is the 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
You guys didn't even know this. I watched it with you in spirit.
Ooh.
You watched them at home?
Like half of them. I caught the last half of them.
There were no big surprises, I don't think.
No. And it was a little, it felt like it was rushed, did it not?
It did. It felt like, I had read it was 3 hours, but it was only 2 hours. And then, it's the same with any award show. They don't give away 90% of the things that are actually up for awards.
Do you feel like people... Like, do you feel like we need a legitimized award show on top of this? This seems like it's like the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah. Well, I think, I think there are legitimate awards, but they don't have a show.
Yeah.
But because I think the majority, they would never sell commercials for it.
That's true.
The bulk of the viewing public.
You mean they never sell trailers to it?
Yeah, that too. But the majority of the viewing public would have not give a shit, who develops what or who does what, unfortunately. So that's why they kind of steer away from...
I honestly mind it because I like seeing all the upcoming games and stuff. It really doesn't... It's not like a bother to me.
Yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't seem like an awards show either. Like, why can't it... I guess it just feels like a couple hours of video game, like...
Chat.
Yeah, it's like, let's all hang out and look at new things and be really excited about them.
And it's weird that, like they show you a montage, like, they show the montages for the games of the year, and you're like, here's a montage of Assassin's Creed. And you're like, I've seen it, I know.
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. So the VGAs kind of did bring something to my mind. Last year we were talking, we're like, 2011 is going to be crazy. It's going to be the craziest year for games. And it really was the absolute
crazy, the
craziest year for games ever, because so many games were just fucking ridiculously good. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about in our open thread. I mean, so many games were just mind-blowingly awesome. And I was really surprised that so many were so good. And I don't think we've ever had a year like this. And next year doesn't look like anything's fucking coming out.
Well,
you know, well, I mean, there's some stuff, but I mean, nothing like this year. We had like, you know,
I mean, the list isn't quite as long next year, but I mean, there is, you know, Mass Effect 3 is going to get finished. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some big ones. SWTOR almost basically is next year.
That's true.
Pretty cool.
We got our PAX passes, right? PAX East. We're all going. Confirmed.
Should be.
Yay. Nay.
Should be good.
Yeah,
to go.
I think so.
Should be good to go. I mean, we
at least
have
a couple of us are doing
place to.
We're hitting con year, I guess, again. So like a couple of us are doing.
Oh yeah.
San Diego. Are three of us doing San Diego?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be there for sure.
I'll be there for sure.
And wife will be there for sure.
Wife will be there for sure for me too.
And don't have a place to stay quite yet. But
that's fine. We'll figure it out.
They haven't opened up the lodging there yet.
That opens in March, right?
Yes.
So
hopefully not the same day as PAX East again, because that was a major screw up.
We'll figure it out.
So yeah.
But cool. Everybody's good. We're all alive.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
So let's talk about things.
We have many, many things to talk about.
Sweet.
This first thing I'm bitter about. I'm mad. I'm starting to get actually mad.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about what's in this action-packed episode. Episode 45, yeah, we have a shit ton of news. Not really a shit ton.
No, we don't.
We're going to have a little shit ton of news.
It's like a baby shit ton.
Yeah, like a little pooplet, if you will. Star Wars numbers are out. We got a press release yesterday kind of revealing all the stats for the first week of SWTOR. SWTOR? SWTOR? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's what I say.
Really, and then, of course, Penny Arcade versus Ocean Marketing kind of blew up the internet today, so we're going to talk about that today. And we have a ton of reviews. Scott, you want to run down the reviews?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Super Mario 3D, a movie that you saw, I believe, Young Adult. And somehow you lucked your way into seeing
Alcatraz. Somehow, because of my many strings that I have through Nerd.
Oh, right. We pulled some strings.
I was given a screener of Alcatraz.
We saw a screener, yeah.
Watched it while relaxing on a plane.
Yep.
Oh, man. So advanced.
And then since it's been a while, I think we're going to talk about Assassin's Creed Revelations.
I wrote Redonkulous.
Redonkulous. Well, yeah. That pretty much sums it up.
It was an R word. That's all I remember.
And Saints Row the Third, which is also Redonk.
It is. Quite redonk.
What are we doing for Open Thread?
Best of. It's that time of year where everybody talks about their top tens. I don't think we're going to do a top whatever number, but we are going to talk about the things that made us poop ourselves this year.
Cool. Yeah.
Whether it be games, movies, TV, or comic books, or books, or home decorating, or
gadgets,
or coffee.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and start this Star Wars Old Republic news. So we got a press release yesterday from BioWare EA showing off some of the stuff that has happened. So it says over let me pull this up. So over 1 million subscribers in the first week, which is supposed to be pretty good. Hopefully that number grows, because right now WoW is, I think, still at 9 million subscribers.
Well, I mean, how many years has WoW been out though?
I think so, 4.
And it's hard to compare too, because I don't feel like WoW had the same kind of kickstart that Star Wars would have had. So I don't know what they started with. Probably not a million.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chuck Norris alone probably has 5 separate subscriptions on WoW. So I don't know. Like, those numbers might be inflated.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
Chuck Norris doesn't have 5 subscriptions. WoW has 5 Chuck Norrises. Is that how that joke works?
That's factually correct, yes.
Oh, okay. Man. Were those ever funny? Did you ever hear a Chuck Norris joke and go,
I think maybe the first week that happened.
The first week.
Yeah, I thought they were clever.
I think the Chuck Norris beard punch. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Where he punched somebody with his beard. That was all right.
No,
that
I
was
didn't
pretty
see
good.
That.
Good to know.
Yes. So about the Star Wars stuff, it says 60 million in-game hours. Matt has played none of them. Sorry, Matt. Roughly equivalent to watching all 6 Star Wars movies over 4 million times. Over 850,000 Sith warriors and 810,000 Jedi
one of
knights
those.
Are created. Awesome.
I created them.
There you go. Over 260 million quests completed, 44 million PvP battles, 9 million space combat missions completed, most of which are Scott, and 3 billion NPCs killed. One thing I did want to point out here is across all servers, it seems like the Sith are greatly outnumbering the Jedi.
Yeah, like almost 2-1 or 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 3-1 is what I've been hearing.
Before the game launched, I looked to see how many guilds there were, what the distribution was. And it was kind of like I think the Empire maybe had 25 to 30% more
Wow.
As far as the guild count goes.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed like we play on a PvP server, and I was like eagerly waiting for the time where I was just like out, you know.
Do you think that's because when you were growing up, you always thought that there were only two Sith? There was only the Emperor and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Like those were the only two you ever really dealt with.
Yeah.
And you never heard that there was more. It didn't seem like a thing. It was just like these were these two super evil dudes who had an empire of soldiers underneath them. And they just like owned everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then like then we got older and the prequels came out, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, and granted there was books and things, but not everybody read the books. But like prequels came out, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, there was like a whole Sith warrior thing. Like it was like they were just as badass as the Jedi's.
Yeah.
And there was tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's like, well, fuck, I want to be a Sith. I don't want to be a Jedi. Like, do you think that's what it is? Do you think it's like
new?
It's newer, you know, it's not always been there.
Well, I think in terms of like just everybody wants to kind of play like a badass, right?
Yeah.
And when you look at characters like Darth Maul and Darth Vader
versus Luke
and I mean Han Solo is great and
yeah,
you know, and
well, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but are there more smugglers than bounty hunters?
I don't know. I don't know the numbers on that, but I know bounty hunters is a pretty damn popular class.
Yeah.
But
cuz you got
Boba Fett. Boba Fett's like the, you know, the mold for that.
It does really seem like the Empire has all the badasses, and the Rebellion, or what are they called here? They're not the Rebellion.
The Rebels.
I would love to tell you, except I'm not allowed in the game.
Oh, like
so
the Republic?
Actually, the Republic.
Yeah, because
the
they're not Rebels right now. They're just
they're the Republic. So
we may have to do an edit.
It does seem like the Empire has more badass classes.
Yeah, and I don't know really what everyone's motivation is. I think it's like, you know, with all the information BioWare released before the game came out, they showed all these screenshots of like, here's, you know, bounty hunter progression, and it's like, holy crap, like as you get high level, the armor and stuff is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, same with like, you know, Sith warriors and stuff. Like you end up looking just like ridiculous. Jedi for the most part are dudes in robes. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think Jedi are amazing, but you know, in terms of like what story do I want to play, like what do I want to do, it's nice to try and see the whole Star Wars story from the other side.
Yeah,
because the Star Wars story has always been about good triumphing over evil.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, does it seem newer? I know they're more badass, but does it seem newer also?
Yeah, it does.
I think so.
I think so too. It's been pretty fun. What are your experiences like so far with the game, Scott?
It's weird. I mean, I feel like I've been playing for a while, but I haven't encountered any PvP situation.
That's what I was
going to
say.
It takes a while usually, though, doesn't it?
Well, you get to a place right around level 18, 20 where it's like...
That's the other problem is I'm still fucking one, and all you guys are going to be like level 30 before I even get into the
game. Well, I mean, it's fast, and it's also like you're playing for your story anyway.
Yeah,
so like Scott and I have only played like once together. We ran an instance together.
Yeah, but that's kind of like the good, that's the reason, like the game gives you a reason to do something when you all get together.
Right.
Yeah
and that's what's so cool about those flashpoints, is that like if you're on and we're both doing totally separate things, I can just go like meet me at the space station at the fleet.
Yeah,
and let's go run a flashpoint. It takes like 20 minutes. It's like the perfect amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like if you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah,
that was fun. That was a lot of fun too.
And I actually do like the starship combat. I mean,
It's really
simple, but
liked it.
It's really simple, but you know, it's fun.
Well, I heard it's as you upgrade your ship, which I really haven't done much. It becomes much more enjoyable. You have a couple more options, and it's like you're less liable to get your ass kicked, I guess, once you have better shields.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's
a little weird that the starship upgrades that you can acquire are tied to your level, you know.
Oh, really?
Like, well, I mean, like your level is your character, but then like your ship requires your level to put parts in the ship. It's weird.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd want there to be like a separate like starship pilot rating either, but because like I've encountered a point where I could afford some of the better parts, but I can't put them on my ship yet. So
you think it's a balancing thing though, so that somebody doesn't rack up a ton of money and just have the most badass ship in the world?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, there's not even like ship to ship combat that I'm aware of.
That's true.
I think
going back to something that you said earlier, I think really what, or maybe you, I don't remember who said it.
Probably not me.
But they were trying to just get it in the game and then worry about it later. Like maybe there will be an update to this later where it's more robust or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and no one's, I've read a lot about the game and no one said, hey, I hate this about the game. Everyone's like, it's fun. I think it's fun, and I think
it's the game's safety valve, honestly, because today I was like tooling around and I ran out of money.
Yeah.
And it's like when you run out of money, you can't really do anything. It's hard to travel or whatever, you know.
Have you hit 25 yet?
No.
Oh, you're really screwed.
Yeah, I know. I got to get the vehicle, right?
That's like 50,000 credits.
To do what?
Get your pilot's license for the
speeder. Oh, fantastic. yeah, man, I'm just waiting for the moment where they're like, you can buy 50,000 credits for $20 in the EA store. You know what I mean? Like one of those.
Oh, God. Hopefully they don't ever do that.
Yeah, hopefully not. But, yeah, the money is kind of a grind. But I realized today that you could do Starship Combat and make about 1,000 credits per mission, even at the lower levels, which is cool. And you get XP for it, too. So if, like, you really just need, like, 500 XP to hit that next level, you could just go run a space combat mission and
get it.
That's
really true. That's cool.
Yeah, and then it's, like, whatever. You get the bonus if you log out in the cantinas and shit like that.
And without revealing any spoilers, how are you finding your you're playing the operative, right?
Yeah, I'm the Imperial agent, and it's kind of like everything that I wanted. It's cool because, like, I mean, effectively you're a spy or a CIA, whatever you want to consider your character to be. And
James Bond of space.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what he is if you want to play him that way. Like, he's kind of a gray kind of character, and you just kind of walk around and make decisions for yourself. Like, you don't really, like, I encountered like a Sith Lord at one point in the game, and I was like,
did you really?
I was just kind of like, he was like saying something to me, I was like, yeah, fuck you, whatever.
Yeah,
like, because I don't care, we're not in the same, I'm not part of your religion, I'm just a guy that works for the Empire.
Yeah That's interesting.
It's
that's
a weird cool. And they do a good job of showing you that there's like, there are the sorcerers, you know, like there are the Sith, and then there's the Empire that just is still kind of like a government.
He's trying, like, to be a government, right?
Yeah, trying to be. And, like, participating in that side of the story, I find, is really interesting.
That is cool. Yeah, that is really cool.
This all sounds super exciting.
It is. Well, I'm playing a Sith warrior. And, I mean, Scott knows this, but I'm playing him as a good guy. And so I've done nothing but, like, light side choices with him.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to play off the way it did, but it has completely and utterly changed the game for me.
Really?
Some stuff went down, and like, I was just like, holy crap, I'm basically like this neutral, like, force in the universe at this point, where I really don't really have a faction because I'm disobeying orders, I'm doing like all good things.
Yeah.
And like, I still believe in the dark side, but it's like my own version of the dark side.
Yeah.
I haven't murdered like any innocence. I've helped everybody. I've freed all these slaves. And like,
have you accidentally done something like dark side? Like, you click the option.
No, actually, not yet.
Really?
Not
I've done yet. That like twice. Because really? Sometimes you read a dialogue option and it seems attractive. And in your mind, you're like, well, I think my character would say that. And
right.
then you do it and you get those dark side points. And you're just like, God damn.
I made the Sith Inquisitor.
Mm.
And I'm the big, they're like big, burly, white skinned people.
Oh, yeah.
With
like
tattoos and shit.
Yeah.
My plan was to go super dark.
Oh, really?
I want to go like just crazy, like torture everyone.
There's definitely
dark.
Lots you can do. You can just murder the shit out of everybody. The last option is always like, kill him.
I'm hoping with the Inquisitor that I get some like interesting ways of doing stuff, because he's not necessarily just like a brute force like the warrior. He's kind of the middle ground, I feel like, between your two roles of like, he's like the shitty dude for the Sith as opposed to for the Empire.
That's
know?
True. Yeah. That's true.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
It'll be fun.
Cool.
Hopefully your error fixes
itself. I think it will. And if it doesn't, I'm just going to get on the phone and be like, what the hell, guys? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm sure. I don't doubt their ability to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a mixture of me not having time to get it fixed. And
it could just be like a driver issue or
just
something.
Just some kind of weird. Yeah, just something weird's going on. I mean, my graphics were way more jumpy than they should have been. And
really?
Remember, we were texting back and forth, and I was like, this is exactly why I like console gaming.
Yeah.
Because I'm like fucking hacking my system to make it work with a game, and I just want it to fucking work.
Need your DOS.
I downloaded you for 8 hours. Please work on my machine.
I had to last minute like tell Chrissy, like, I would love a graphics card for Christmas. And she's like, really? I'm like, yes. And then that's what I got, so I could play this game more effectively.
Nice.
So, well, today on the internet, I woke up to this little article on Penny Arcade. About, ironically, something we did at PAX East.
Which I had forgotten we did.
We tried out a controller called the Avenger controller.
Yes.
And it's like this add-on. We actually reviewed it on the podcast. There's an add-on. It's an add-on to a PS3 or an Xbox controller that gives you these little extra pulley system for
your
fingers.
That's the one with all like the levers and things.
Yeah, and
you
it makes
could,
it
like,
quicker to shoot.
Click the trigger
like,
with a button press or something.
Yeah, like your stuff's a little closer and easier for your hands. I mean, it was neat. I don't know that any of us were going to drop $50 on it, but it was a cool little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, some kid basically pre-ordered the controller, and the way you pre-ordered it was paying in full, 100%. You paid for a controller. He bought two. So he sent this company $100, and they said, hey, early December, you'll have it. He was like, cool, I'm keeping one, and I'm giving one for a gift.
Which, paying in full...
is weird.
It is really weird. Like, I can see, like, with Amazon... That makes sense. This is an established.
But I don't even, never do. With
I don't even think
you
they charge you until
no,
you
ships.
Until it ships.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Until
you
it
never,
ships.
You'll buy it, and they'll say, they may check your funds, or if you have gift cards, they might pull it out of there. Mm. But otherwise, they just say, "Okay, cool, you've got it." And then the day it ships, they'll charge your card.
Okay,
they tell you
so
that they're like,
that.
"You won't get charged until it ships."
Okay, that
which
makes
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So these guys took their money and then said, "You know, early December, which is fine, whatever." Never showed up. No information got sent to him, nothing. So he wrote a short email that just said, hey, I pre-ordered two controllers, you know, paid in full. I haven't heard anything from you guys. What's going on? I know I've heard there's some issues. Just tell me what's going on. He got the email reply was December 17th.
That was it.
Wow.
That was it. It didn't say any other words in the email. And he wrote back again. He was like, well, and he wrote back again, I think on the 18th or 19th. And he was like, okay, well, it's the 19th now. I haven't heard anything from you guys again. I don't know if it meant you were shipping it on the 17th or if you guys were getting it on this. Like, what is the 17th?
Like, they
mean?
Were getting so many emails that someone just had to go like.
And he got pretty much the most ridiculous reply I've ever seen in
it
my
was
life.
Amazing. It was
where
amazing.
The guy said something about he might have it for Christmas, wither for Christmas or something.
We should actually do a dramatic reenactment
it's
of
so
the email.
Long. It's
it
so
is pretty long.
Long.
It'd be like 10 minutes.
Basically, he sent this snotty email back that was like, "Put on your big boy pants and wait like everybody else," which
yeah,
is a quote from the
this
email.
That's exactly what he said. Put on your big boy pants. Welcome. Didn't he say welcome to the internet?
No, that's what the next kid. So then the kid shot back an email that was like, then yeah. The kid became an asshole.
Yeah.
And was like, "What the fuck? I didn't ask for any of that. You're like, I paid you in full. I did this. What is going on?" And he was like, I've already forwarded this on to Kotaku and a bunch of other people. Like, good luck. Welcome to the internet. This is how we treat things.
Yeah.
And the guy wrote back. He's like, welcome to the internet. I was using the internet when you were a sperm in your dad's balls. This is like from the PR. It's the president of the company who does head of PR for the company.
Yeah.
This is how he's responding to a customer every time.
Yep.
And it's just kind of the only reason we put it there is because it blew up on the internet like everything does. And it was. It's just the most amazing email correspondence I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it gets ridiculous when... He did. He fired it off to Kotaku and Game Informer
and Penny Arcade.
And Mike from Penny Arcade read it and was like, no big deal. But then he sees that the other guy, the bad guy, promotion marketing, says that, we are at Penny Arcade our products are represented at Penny Arcade. And
every
as soon
year.
As Mike from Penny Arcade read that, he's like, you're not going to be talking about me. Like,
yeah, he kept the guy, the promotional guy kept name dropping. Like, I know Kevin Kelly at G4. I know all the dudes at Engadget. We go to PAX every year. I know all the guys at Penny Arcade. Send it to whoever you want. I don't care. I'm in the industry. They know me. I'm in. You're nothing. That's like, this is what he's saying to the kid. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So Mike pretty much responded and said, hey, Dave was the kid's name. He's like, hey, Dave, thanks for cluing us in on this. If that guy has a booth at PAX, don't worry. They're not going to be there. Like, that was all he said. And, the guy responded back. He's like, Mike, I don't even know who you are, but if you think you can keep me from being at PAX East and you've got another thing coming, I'm from Boston. I know everybody there.
Yeah.
And Mike wrote back and he's like, apparently you don't know who I am. I run PAX.
He's like, it's my convention.
It's my convention. You're not going to be there if I say you're not. And then he kind of backed out. And then the guy kept writing back. And then he was like super apologetic. And the funny thing is, if you read all the way through the whole thing, the douchebag's like final reply should have been his first reply, which was like, here's the update. We're giving out a $10 gift certificate for everybody who pre-ordered. It'll be sent out. The shipping will start the week before Christmas. We had issues with our supplier from China. And I'm like, where did this email come from? And why wasn't it the first thing you wrote back when the kid asked what's going on?
It sounds like he probably like just... was thinking that the kid was going to back down and he was just having a shitty day and just like, you know, wanting to be an asshole. And then things definitely, I mean, this is going to hurt his company.
I mean, it was all over. And the name, the funnier thing is all the names that he dropped of like all these people that he's in with, all of them hit Twitter and were like, Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that is other than horrible customer service. So we're sorry, everybody. Like, Kevin Kelly made a quick response. He was like, this got me 3,000 new followers on Twitter.
That's amazing.
He's like, hi, everyone. Sorry it was such a shitty thing that got you here.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just reading through this as you guys are talking about it. It's like, it's so classy. It's like, it's like, I am Mike. PAX is my show. Feel free to Google me. I can promise you will never have space any future event. And then the guy's like, let's see. I'll see space wherever I want, yeah. With who I want and where I want. So many ways around you and so many connections in the industry, it's silly. And then the guy writes back, I do run PAX, but I also run a website called Penny Arcade. It's kind of popular.
And the guy's reply is like, I love Penny Arcade. Let's hope that Ocean Marketing has learned their lesson.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. Yeah,
and let's hope that Dave gets his fangled new controller so he can get more.
Or does he?
Kills
does he still want
kills?
It?
I mean, yeah, no. He says the whole time he's like, I'm gonna keep getting them because I think that's a good idea. He's like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I partly wanted to be like, dude, cancel your order. Like, you need to be like, nope, sorry, you fucked this one up, company.
You
good
have
luck.
To kind of like at a certain point, you need to vote with your wallet.
Yeah,
you know?
He's probably afraid he's not gonna get his money back.
That's
they
true.
They already
I mean,
have his
knows.
Cash, you know.
Anyways,
so that was it for news.
That was it. Yeah, we didn't have a shit ton of news.
No,
we
didn't.
Why.
A little turdlet.
Yeah, turdlet.
Dropling.
Highly entertaining, though.
Well.
So we're coming back with reviews. We got a bunch of reviews.
So take a quick break, and we will be right back.
We're going to do a Nintendo review, and I'm not going to be a part of it.
So weird.
You've played it a little bit.
Yeah,
so weird.
Yeah, I have.
So I was missing gaming quite a bit, and the laptop wasn't doing it for me for whatever reason. I didn't really have a good setup to sit at the laptop and play games yet. So Target was running a sale, and I picked up the 3DS for $150 or $160 with a $50 gift certificate to Target.
Nice.
Like, that's a good deal. And then I had heard good things about Super Mario 3D Land, so I was like, I'll pick that up. I'm a Mario fan. And I played it, and it was awesome. So
really?
Yes. I did write a review up on the site already, but I don't know. I also don't know what Scott's played and hasn't played, so I don't want to ruin anything for him.
Wait, is there a plot with
I haven't
Mario?
Even cleared the first world.
There's not a plot, but there's a lot of really cool moments. Mario's a game full of moments,
yeah.
I feel like, where you do something and you're like, holy shit, that was awesome. Like, this was really fun and this was really cool. Like, and that happens all the way through that game. That game is, the way I put it in the review was like, you know, if you want to see a 3D movie, you go see something James Cameron's done. Like, if you want to play a Mario 3D or you want to play a 3D game on the 3DS, you probably should play a Mario 3D game that Nintendo did because they're just going to use that technology better than anyone else that's going to possibly put their hands in it. And they do. I mean, it's like, everything that they drew on the screen is done with perspective in mind and done with like screwing with you basically with the 3D where they'll hide things on the Z dimension. They'll flip it. And all of a sudden you're top down and you're moving like straight up and down and the 3D is working in and out the whole time. And it's just pitch perfect and awesome.
I can't, every time you talk about this, I can't wait for like a Paper Mario game.
Yeah.
Because that's what the whole premise of Paper Mario is built on that.
Yeah.
Like doing like visual trickery, and now there's like a 3D interface for that.
And really good. I think having never held this thing for more than 15 minutes at a time, it was hard to understand what made the 3D good.
When Nintendo has a piece of technology, they always leverage it the best way, but no one else even comes close. Like in this game, I saw that there were two different modes for even the 3D.
Yeah.
Like two different 3D like depth kind
yes.
of settings or whatever.
Yeah. I actually had the 3D on full too the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I did as well and it looked awesome.
Yeah. So the game takes 3D and uses it in such a fun way. I think that's really what it's about. And it's not about story, you know. I know Ash, you get tired of like puzzle games and they're not your thing.
Yeah.
But like, this isn't puzzle gaming in the traditional sense. This is very much Mario 3. Is it actually Mario 3 just redone?
No, I mean,
because the levels are different.
No, I don't think this game is like. I mean, I don't think they.
They didn't use that game,
right?
But
it's
it
not
is,
like it's not a remake or anything.
But it feels in the vein of that series of Mario, like
okay, yeah,
like the whole way through the way the levels are done, what you're traveling with, what you're mm-hmm. doing, like it feels very, you know.
So you actually have like an inventory. You can store suits and all that kind of stuff.
You have one item that you can always switch in and out of.
Okay.
If you leverage that really well, you get really good with it by the end.
Oh, you can switch?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like it takes over.
If let's say you have fire and you switch to the leaf,
yeah,
the fire will get stored in, in the thing.
Whoa. Good to know. Pro tip, everybody.
And the other thing is if you, like when you're in long fights or if you're in a boss fight, like, let them take you all the way down to little and then switch into the another thing and you get a couple more levels of being alive. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
It gets really hard, like really hard by the end of it. And it doesn't start out very hard. It's like the classic like ramp up. That
yeah.
Nintendo
Did you
has.
Actually beat the game?
I am on the very, very last moment of the game.
Man.
And I've gone through, I think, 12 lives to beat the final boss.
Wow.
Which they hand out like candy. I had 30 something at one point.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you always have like tons of lives in these games, but that doesn't make the challenge any easier, you know?
The game looks awesome. I think the thing for me is this sold the 3DS to me as like a viable gaming machine.
And like we said, this should have been like
this
day,
should have been
day
the release
one.
Title. I'm blown away that this was not the release title. It's like
they
Pilot
really,
Wings,
it wasn't done.
Pilot Wings Resort was, and it's like,
it
oh yeah,
done.
That really charges up your fan base. Like. They, here's Pilot Wings Resort.
Yeah, here was like a hot niche title from the Super yeah, Nintendo days,
like,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, our main character will be here in a few months. Here's an old Zelda game and Pilot Wings Resort. And you're like, what? I don't
honestly,
play either one of those.
Honestly, the system should have launched with Luigi's Mansion 2, and then this game still could have come out
yeah.
when it did.
Yeah.
You know, and
or even Mario Kart. Anyways, if you do have a 3DS, you probably already have this game. If you don't, you should go pick it up. If you want a 3DS for some reason and you wanted a new Mario game,
deals aplenty.
This game's pretty awesome and there's tons of deals out there, so I would say definitely pick it up. I don't want to talk for the next 30 minutes straight, so why don't we skip to Assassin's Creed, and Scott, you can jump in on that.
Okay.
Yeah, who's played it?
Not I.
It's sitting on both of our counters.
You haven't started?
I haven't had an Xbox.
Oh right, I forgot.
Mine's still in the shrink wrap.
Okay, so I played this game close to the release date, and I've played them all. I should say that too.
Yeah.
I've played all the games. Like I'm one of those, like just like Mass Effect, I still like the first one. You know.
Yeah.
I think the first Assassin's Creed is great. I have a lot of issues with the story. I've always said that like the most important story in this game is Desmond's. It would seem now that the most interesting storyline that really hasn't been fleshed out is Altair's story.
But okay. Why it never was interesting to me. It was
yeah,
boring.
Well,
it was like, oh, I'm a confused assassin.
Right.
I don't know whether I should be an assassin or not. And then the guy's like, oh, I'm good. No, I'm not. And then the game ends and you're like, I don't what
Yeah,
what
well,
happened?
I mean, here's the thing. Like he, you know, in the first game, he beats his mentor and then he has this apple. And then he's got this whole guild of assassins, and he just killed the mentor. And then, like, what happens after that? Like,
he becomes the leader of the guild.
But
right?
I'm saying you have to, like, what do? You walk outside, you explain to everybody, hey, I killed your mentor. Don't worry about why or what happened. I have this apple, but no one can, it's bad stuff. We're not going to use this, you know, like, and that's kind of the missing.
But
link.
See, I feel like this is you making story for the game that doesn't, like.
Well,
I honestly didn't even consider that. I just was like,
yeah.
And now he's the head of the guild. I moved on with life.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, I don't know that they're, like, I feel like you're adding plot points. Maybe that's what they
I didn't personally add these plot points, but they're here now.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Because, I mean, pretty much the whole point of this particular game is Ezio is retracing Altair's steps to find out, like, basically, he realizes that there must be some knowledge that he has yet to tap. And so he goes after this knowledge.
Okay.
So that's the thing. So that's
I thought Ezio just kind of wanted like pasta and loose women.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he wanted the pasta and the loose women.
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm Italian. So for those listening, this is allowed. He's allowed. he's allowed to be racist towards my people. It's acceptable.
So
there's a lot of, I mean, like right now where this story is, there's a lot of plot. Like, I don't know if you call them holes or like weird.
No. In this game?
Yeah. See, and that's the
What's
thing.
What's the deal with the aliens, man? That's what I want to know.
You know, okay,
are they aliens or are they gods?
Well, there's like these other people. I call them like the first people or whatever. Right. So these like there's other people. There's Desmond. There's Altair. There's Ezio. There's whatever Abstergo's doing. And there's you know, like the Abstergo.
I mean, do they even mention Abstergo in this one?
Not really. And that's the thing.
I just don't understand why they keep telling different stories every game. And they're like, here's a new game, we're gonna talk about something else entirely.
And that's what I wrote about in the article. I made like a list of like five things you can do for Assassin's Creed 3 to make this game better.
Yeah.
It's like, what is important in this game, like story wise? Like, what am I supposed to really like latch onto, you know? And then I made this comparison to Lost, where it's like, what's important? Yeah. Is it the hatch? Is it the back section of the plane? Is it the temple? Like, what do we care about, you know?
Yeah. Is this Activision?
This is Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Are they their own?
Yeah, they're their own thing. Yeah. It's the only studio.
Like an idiot a lot of times. Anyways, like
you know more than many people.
Is this like a? Do you think this is them having to be under the gun to put a game out every year? I mean, like, what is the point of this?
There's definitely part of it.
I hate that shit so much.
It is a massive paycheck for them, and they can use a lot of the same assets that they used all the way from 2 and Brotherhood. They have all those assets still in their systems. Yeah. All they got to do is, you know, get the team in there, make some new content, and then you're good to go. It's guaranteed money in the bank. I think, unfortunately, I think they did kind of suffer from the same thing that Lost did, in that they were trying to have a really, really rich and deep story, but they have no definitive ending in mind at this point, or no, you know, every good story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's why Mass Effect works so well, because they knew what the ending was going to be at the beginning.
And I mean,
but I feel like the issue with that is that they're not doing it. They're doing a beginning, a middle, and then some more middle, and then a little bit more middle. We're closer to the end. We're going to do just a tiny bit more middle, if that's okay. Hold on. We're not at the next generation of consoles. Yeah. We're going to do one more middle, and then we're going to get to the end. And it's like,
it deludes it.
I don't like care about any of this.
If you,
you
can't
know?
Project the end of the series, at the very least, project like the end of the season. Like, create a season. Like,
right.
You know,
encapsulate each game to be a little bit more interesting.
Or like a series
of games. I think 2 worked so well because they said, hey, we're getting a little drowned in this stuff from the first one that didn't make any sense. We're going to talk about a character. We're going to make him really interesting, and we're going to get him through his story. And there'll still be some of that. We're still going to talk about this overarching thing, but we're going to do a piece on a guy.
Mm.
And it was like, this game was awesome. And then they're like, hey, remember that guy you liked from the second one? We're going to do another piece on him, but kind of differently. There's some more people
I really enjoyed Brotherhood, though. Brotherhood has probably been my favorite entry in the whole series.
Brotherhood, I think, was refined gameplay, though, more than it was encapsulated story. And I think Brotherhood expanded on Desmond's story and did that well. And I think that worked, but then there's another. I just feel like it just keeps happening, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this game. I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to like this game.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that it's still a great game, but you, like you said, like you're sort of drowning in everything in this game. Like, they didn't take anything away. You know, they didn't take away like an ability or a weapon or some kind of mechanic. They just added more mechanics to the game. So in particular, the game, I'm not like spoiling anything because you can't miss it. The game basically starts out with like horse carriage combat.
Yeah.
And it's totally broken. It makes no sense at all. Like, I mean, I guess it's supposed
to. Did you do that in the last? Or am I mixing? I thought you did that in the
last
one.
No, I mean, there was like all the Da Vinci shit you drove around. Yeah. A lot of it, which was really clunky. But.
And it's kind of like one of those things that I think is supposed to be easy, but I, for whatever reason, had a lot of trouble with it. And like, it just came off being like really strange, and it's not like, that's not why you play that game, is for like horse carriage action. And I guess there's also you know, all the other games are there, so it's like you do like the assassin contracts, and you do like the guild faction has, you know, like all the guilds have like the challenges that you need to complete.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, you still need to collect. Yeah, you still need to collect things. Stuff. So, and then
I really enjoyed the guild contracts. I did those in Brotherhood.
Yeah,
I thought that was really fun. But I like half the other stuff. I'm never like 1. I almost 100%ed 2. I came kind of close.
3, yeah.
2.5. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna 100% this game. And then this one, I'm like, you added more.
Like I've 100%ed like all of the single players.
I don't know how you.
But. I mean, it's like, it's so tedious. At a certain point, like, I think of it as like a lawnmower. You're just mowing the lawn. You're like going back and forth over the map, like just kind of combing everything out of it, and just kind of doing everything you need to do to get it done. And it's just like, they added like a new combat thing where it's like now you have to craft your own bombs. So like
you know, alchemy, like you're doing like not alchemy, that's the wrong word.
No, it's like just like, but it's like item gathering, and then you need to go somewhere to combine these ingredients to make the bombs. And you remember you used to have like a smoke bomb that you could drop to escape from combat.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd have like a purse of money, and you can toss the money out to like bring people over.
Yeah, yeah.
So you still have the bag of money, but you can now craft a bomb that you throw that explodes money to like bring people. You know what I mean? It's like why?
It's a money bomb.
Yeah, it's a money bomb, and then
that
like
still would be deadly.
So like now there's not a smoke bomb, but you can make a smoke bomb. You know, and it's like.
Overcomplicating things.
See, how many weapons do you guys use when you play this game?
Like three. I barely used half of them.
Like there's two like left and right analog stick are all weapons. You go to the weapon wheels, there's two wheels, and there's you can pick primary and secondary weapons. There's probably about eight of each.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use mainly like the daggers. I was a dagger fighter. And
I would bare hands a lot. Yeah. Steel weapons.
Wrist blades and stuff.
Yeah, steel weapons. Yeah. I like to fight with the sword. And like I don't use anything else unless I'm like surprised.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
I was going to say, like, I agree. I think Brotherhood was a fantastic game. We all loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like Brotherhood was bringing Ezio to the Desmond story, refining gameplay. And then I was, like, super hyped about an awesome third game. And I feel like I'm still super hyped about an awesome third game because I still love the series. I'm just getting frustrated that they're doing these, like, point games. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And do you remember, like, I think it was – Was it the very first Assassin's Creed 2 where you go to the villa and you start to improve the city?
Yeah.
Like you remember like there was kind of like
how you gain money.
Yeah. You remember there's kind of like a sense of wonder, like when you're kind of like exploring this villa and there's like underground passages and you're whoa, what's going on? You meet like Leonardo da Vinci. There's not like anything like that to latch onto in this game because I mean, if you're not like a stoked on Constantinople, like, it's hard to get stoked about the locations that you visit. There's one more thing I want to talk about, and that's what is Ezio? Is he a psychotic murderer now?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is he an assassin, like who's supposed to be in the shadows and stealthy? You know what I mean?
I hadn't thought about it the way you put it, but I totally agree because Altair was always motivated, and even Ezio in the first game was motivated for his killings. Like it was like Altair was a hired assassin who was, you know, gaining something, and it was clearly a bad person you were going to go kill
because
they were doing something horrible, you know, and you took them out and you were like, hey, sorry, dude, I took you out, but you're an evil dude. And Ezio was like avenging his family, and you're like, this is so great.
Amazing,
you know, it's like such a great storyline, and seeing all the characters and, all, you know, everybody they brought in when he would kill him, you were like, this felt good. It felt gratifying because you were avenging his family.
Yeah.
And then slowly you're like, now I'm just kind of murdering people.
Yeah.
Like, do I have any motivation whatsoever for why I'm just killing hundreds of people right now?
I mean, like, I'll concede the fact that the gameplay was not great in the first game, but you remember, like, how you had to get, like, you infiltrated a building by, like, you would stealth in with, like, a crowd of people that looked like you, and then, like, you would see your target, and there would be, like, a little scene where he'd, like, cripple somebody in front of a crowd and, like, be like, and this is why you need to obey me. And then you'd kind of like slowly walk through the crowd as he's giving his speech, and then just kind of like, you know, you'd kill
take him out.
Like
and
that
out
was so gratifying, and that like doesn't seem to exist in this world anymore. This game is kind of like almost like a like EA Skate, where it's just like you just kind of like do tricks like in the environment, where it's like, oh, let me see if I can parachute down and like drop down onto a guy from my parachute and assassinate him. It's like, there's kinda,
well, I also feel like I used to in the first and second one, I used to avoid guards. Like I would play into it and like stealth around people.
Well, now
to
you
do
can
stuff.
Fucking annihilate.
Yeah, I just
roof.
Like I'll run through rooftops and just like hitting people in the face with my you know, my blades. It's it's insane.
So like that's kind of like my final question for this franchise is like what happened to the character?
Right.
You know, like the whole creed and like the things that you were doing.
I don't know his motivation in this new game because I haven't played it yet. But you know, in Brotherhood, I didn't feel like he had strayed from the path. I still felt like I was playing a good character because he was dealing with like the Borgia and all these like fucked up people and like.
But I feel like you wrote some of that history in for yourself. I don't think they always really. I mean, they showed them as bad people, but it wasn't like as screwed up as the Borgia really were. Like, I don't think they really.
They did have incest and stuff in the game though. They were like all banging each other.
Everybody was each other.
As far
then.
As being like as far as being assassin like goes, you will remember like something that was a big deal in the first game is that if you bumped into somebody and they dropped their plates or their boxes, you could get attacked. You know, like and now you just push past people and kick them to the side and like you could kind of like punch a guard in the face and walk away and they won't do anything about it. And it's like, what happened to the sort of the role playing aspect of this game? And that's,
I think they simplified it for so to attract more people.
Yeah.
I mean, like the first game was really challenging.
I got
stuck and never finished it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they wanted to make it more accessible, I guess, for the masses.
Yeah. I think they've gotten to that point where they're making a series to make a series because they know it's popular and they need to, you know, for Ubisoft to make money and do really well and all that kind of stuff. I don't begrudge them of any of that. It's just this thing was so crazily awesome when it first came out, like 1 and 2 and even Brotherhood. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure this game's awesome. I'm not fighting that. I just feel like, man, I wish they would just bring it in a little, guys.
Yeah,
like,
I just hope
figure this shit out.
I hope that in 3 they can find their way.
And I hope there's 3.
Yeah, yeah, true. And despite everything that we've just said about this game, it's still a whole lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
I'm
sure. And that's the problem. That's why we get so passionate about it.
Because they make awesome games.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to talk about Young Adult?
Sure. So I left work one night, and Young Adult was playing in New York, and
which is not a pornographic film.
Heard a lot of things about it, so I said, you know, I'm going to go watch it, and depending on how I feel, maybe I'll write something up about it. It is the latest film from. Yeah, it's the latest film from. Oh, I'm going to fuck the names. We're going to edit.
Jason Reitman.
Jason Reitman. Thank you.
From Diablo Cody.
And Diablo Cody. Diablo both did Juno. Was the last time they paired together. Jason Reitman did like Thank You for Smoking, Up in the Air. Diablo Cody, I don't know. She wrote Juno. She wrote, what was that? Megan Fox movie.
What was that called?
Scott. Megan Fox and Big Eyed Girl.
Amanda Seyfried.
Siegfried.
Was that the movie where like Megan Fox was like a demon or something?
Yeah. What was that called? Yeah.
Devil's Backside.
Yeah, something like that.
That was it.
And it's the story. It follows Charlize Theron. Her character.
That was called Jennifer's Body.
Yes. Her character, Mavis, is a young adult book writer. So she actually writes a series about like a high school romance kind of thing, you know, like about kids in high school.
Oh, okay.
It's not vampires or anything. And they actually make jokes about that in the movie about they're like, oh, what do you do? And she's like, oh, I'm a young adult writer. They're like, call it YA, you know. She's a super bitch. It's hilarious. And they're like, oh, like vampires and stuff. And she's like, no, I write serious young adult books. Kids in high school. But story kind of follows her. Her ex-boyfriend is remarried. Her college, like high school college boyfriend is remarried. And they're having a baby. She gets an invitation to go to the baby shower. And it freaks her out. And she's kind of in this place where she's divorced. She's living by herself in Minneapolis. And she just doesn't know what she's doing with her life anymore. Her book series that she's been writing is coming to an end. And you've learned that she's not even the creator of the series. She's just the writer now. Like, she just writes the series that somebody else created, like, a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
So she decides, I'm going to go back to my hometown, this little kind of, like, suburby town in the middle of Minnesota, and I'm going to win back my ex-boyfriend. I'm going to break up their marriage. And I'm going to live happily ever after with him in the city, you know, like the way it should be, the way it should have worked out always. Just kind of one of those weird midlife crisis moments.
Sounds totally uplifting.
You could have. It is a super dark movie. The movie is like billed as dark comedy, and I would agree. If you've ever seen like Election.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I actually really liked, but that reaction makes me feel like you probably did not like it.
I hated it.
I'm trying to think of some other good dark comedies. That's one of the better ones.
What about that Jim Carrey movie, The Cable Guy?
Cable Guy is another dark comedy.
Didn't like that either.
See, I really enjoy these movies. Yeah, dark comedies are really, I enjoy them. And this one is probably one of the darkest I've seen. It's really hard to watch sometimes.
Right.
And it kind of just follows this girl, Mavis, coming home. She meets another kid she went to high school with, played by Patton Oswalt, who is kind of stuck in life. He got beat up for being gay in high school by a bunch of kids with a crowbar, and he wasn't actually gay. So, like, the joke is that it was a hate crime, and then they canceled it from being a hate crime because it turned out he wasn't gay.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Wow.
So, but he's, like, physically, like, scarred for life, and he kind of is screwed up, and he's kind of stuck. He lives in his parents' old house with his sister and, you know, makes whiskey in the garage and, like, is just kind of, like, stuck in life.
I heard he's awesome in it.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the story is dark, but the writing is great. It's one of the best things I feel like I've ever seen Diablo Cody write.
Good for her.
Because Juno was great. It was catchy and it was like kind of hip and cool.
Yeah.
But it never felt real to me. Like, I didn't feel necessarily...
It felt like a script.
Yeah, it felt like that's how people talk in a movie, not necessarily how they talk. This movie is written... I mean, like, I could see this happening. Like, I could see one of my friends going nuts and trying this, and all of the words were real. There's a big kind of culminating moment in the movie that is just done so well. Charlize Theron plays it so well, and it's written so well. It's like heartbreaking, but it's awesome, and it's just done well. Everything's written well, shot well. It's good. It's a really good movie, and Patton Oswalt deserves like nominations for this, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow,
I think Charlize Theron could. I think Diablo Cody could. I think this movie's that good.
Wow, he's working on that EGOT.
None of that will happen because this movie is so fucking dark. It is borderline hard to watch. Like,
wow,
you are watching somebody's descent into like alcoholism and depression, and it's just brutally honest, and it's really hard to watch. There are moments where you're like kind of wincing in your chair, like, just please get out of this. Please get out of this. And, you know, it's pretty incredible. But
wow.
But Charlize Theron, like, almost no makeup the whole time, it seemed like, kind of, except for when she does herself up and they kind of show it. And
interesting.
Then she's like Charlize Theron all of a sudden, you know. But previous to that, she's Mavis, who is...
Does she look like Eileen from Monster?
No, she's not. She's not Eileen from Monster.
Damn,
she didn't put on 50 pounds.
I'm waiting for Monster 2.
Electric Boogaloo. Don't make that joke, Matt. Okay. So, anyways.
You go see that too, Scott?
Someone should make a third something. So that, you know, when you say...
Oh, yeah.
When you say
breaking
three. Yeah.
Bust your knee. Right. Arrow, breaking three, arrow to the knee.
Whoa.
Call back.
See that? See that? What happened?
So, anyways, the movie is really good. I really recommend watching it if you already like dark comedies. If you enjoyed Election or Cable Guy, or, you know, I don't know. I'm blanking on other good ones, but if you like that, I would say go see it. If you like Diablo Cody and Jason Reitman, I would say go see it. His direction is, the way he shoots scenes, you kind of like forget it, there's a camera and that you're watching a movie. Like, they're shot very like emotionally almost, you know. Charlize Theron, Patton Oswalt, both awesome. Patrick Wilson plays her like ex-boyfriend. He's really good in it.
The owl.
His wife is played by somebody that I knew from a TV show, and she does a really good job. Like, it's just really good, but also very dark. So you kind of have to go into it knowing that you're not going to laugh a ton. You'll laugh, but it's not always great laughter, and it's not like belly laughter. It's not Patton Oswalt being Patton Oswalt. It's Patton Oswalt being like a darker Patton Oswalt. I don't know.
No, I mean, almost beaten to death with a crowbar.
Yeah.
So
that'll
do it to you.
I would say go see it in the theater because I think the movie needs support. But if you don't, you know, catch it on Netflix, rent it, whatever. It's worth it. It's worth the watch. It's a really, really good movie. So
cool.
Go see it. Ash.
Oh, man. This game.
How many dildos have you been throwing at people?
Oh, okay. So I had no intention of picking up Saints Row the Third, and then I listened to a couple podcasts, like Feedback did a little thing on it, and Giant Bomb did a thing on it, and I was like, you know what? Everyone is ranting and raving about this game, and I've never played any of the other Saints Row games. I'm just going to go pick it up. So Best Buy had a sale, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, buy two, get one free, and it was already on sale for like $40. So I got it for very, very cheap, and I took it home and played it. And it has become a great joy in my life. I love Saints Row the Third, and there's a lot of reasons why. Okay,
what is this game about? Okay. I thought it was a joke.
No, okay. So great question. What's it about? So it's a imagine taking a game like Grand Theft Auto, where you you know, you're like this gangster type character, but in Saints Row the Third, you're already like an established leader of a gang, and the gang is called the Saints. And your job is to not only take areas of the city over, but also to battle against rival gangs and to build your own gang up, basically build your own army, right? So the whole time you're going to be doing a lot of like kind of underhanded things, like a lot of the you know, the missions will be like, all right, this mission you have to escort hoes from point A to point B. And this mission is like drive with the drug dealer and cover him while he delivers, you know, crack to these different corners. And it seems like, oh man, this is just a stupid, stupid fucking game about dumb, dumb stuff. But it's all done like with AAA polish and done insanely well. And the greatest thing about this game is it never for a second takes itself seriously. So anything you ever would want to do in an open world game, you can absolutely do. Like, it basically takes off all the restrictions and says, just fucking do it. Like, when Matt was watching me play, we were just like, hey, there's a tank. A tank shows up to kill me. We just, like, ganked the tank, and we're driving through the city blowing stuff up.
I believe my exact words were, you have to steal that tank.
And so you hop in the tank. But, that, I mean, just the level of destruction and insanity, that's fun and all. But the story is actually really, really good. Like, I was blown away by the level of depth of all the different characters and how great the voice acting and everything is in this game. Like, you can choose from, I think, three different male voices and three different female voices and a zombie voice as your main avatar's voice.
And, of course.
Yeah, of course, a zombie voice. And they're all voice acted by different voice actors and done, like, incredibly well. Like, I picked this Russian, like, she-spy kind of character. And so everything is, like, really, like, you know, super Russian, super spy, essentially. But, so the entire game, you're going around and you're building up your gang and recruiting new members and trying to take back areas of the city that have been taken over by rival gangs. And it is an absolute blast to just wreak havoc everywhere you go. You have, you know, I think like 8 or 9 different weapons you can carry, all of which are upgradable. Your character's stats are all upgradable from, you know, how much damage you can take to, you know, the damage and type of bullets your weapons have. You can pick up any car that you find in the game, drive it to a garage and completely customize it and be able to call it in at any time. So let's say you steal, like, I stole a garbage truck today and I was just like, I'm going to pimp this garbage truck. So I take the garbage truck to the garage. I put some neon on the bottom of it, painted it purple with some glowy lights all over it, put James Bond bladed wheels all over it, gave it some nice white leather interior and some nitrous. Then I have a nice nitrous garbage truck. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. While I was watching it, I was like hooting and hollering while I'm watching him play this game. I knew it was ridiculous. Like, the stuff that was going on, and I didn't watch any story play. You just kind of drove around and caused havoc. Mm-hmm. But just watching that, it reminded me of a mix. And this is not from gameplay, so don't take it as that way. But watching it, it reminded me of a mix of like GTA, but mixed with like Mercenaries or Just Cause or something.
Yeah.
And I think I had a third game, and I forgot what it was. But it just looks like so much fun to just do. And I had no preconceptions or feelings towards this game whatsoever. I never played the first two. I knew the first one was supposed to be like kind of serious.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in GTA, so I didn't really care about Saints Row. And then the second one came out, and I heard they got more jokey, but I didn't really care about it still. But this game, watching them, it just looked like pure fun. Like, just like pure fun.
So is this like a thing where it's like, if you have an interest in this series, you don't even go back to the first two, you just start with this one?
See, I never played. I mean, there's characters from the first two games in this, but they do a really good job of introducing everyone. Like, the main cast starts off with only like 3 characters, your character and I guess the 2 main other characters from the other games. And they don't overwhelm you with people. So that's good, because I got to know everyone relatively quickly. But as the story progresses, you pick up more, you know, more gang members and more people along the way, all of which give you missions and then can later join you. Like, you can basically call them in and they'll drive around with you, and they always have stuff to stay, and, you know, they'll fight with you and things like that. Like, I showed Matt this guy Oleg, and Oleg was a giant. I think he's German or Russian.
He's like Jaws.
He's like massive, just basically like the biggest human being you can imagine. And like, when I found Oleg, he was strapped into a cloning machine.
Yeah.
And they were making clones of him because his DNA was so perfect. And so you have the option of busting him out and freeing him, and then he'll join you in your fight. But like, the whole mission where you free him, he's buck naked the whole time. So you're imagining this like giant naked man running around with you, just like destroying stuff. So, I mean, the characters are great and it's a lot of fun. And the one thing I did want to mention really quick is the multiplayer is insanely amazing. So, like, let's say my account, I'm like, you level just like, you know, any one of these games, you level up, you get stats and guns and cars and all that. If one of you guys were to have the game, we can basically just like join in, drop out into each other's games, have our entire arsenal of stuff and play in the other person's world.
Oh, so it's like cooperative.
Yeah, it's completely cooperative. I played with Derek the other day, and we just ran around causing havoc for like 3 or 4 hours. Like, he's like, well, I got to go to the airport. I got to see if we can steal a jet. So, like, we, you know, stole a cop car. There's a cars chasing us across the tarmac. Like, I jumped out, punched a guy in the face, got a golf cart, and I'm like driving around, and he's like holding him off. He gets in like a little Learjet, takes off like 10 feet, and then like the jet explodes, you know.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Just like total mayhem and pandemonium. And eventually he does take off, but I couldn't get in the plane on time, so I'm like driving after him in a golf cart. But it's just total silly, like sandbox. Like, it lets you do anything you want to do. You can literally, there's achievements for everything. Like, there's an achievement for streaking. So you can just take off all your clothes and run naked through the streets and you get achievements. There's achievements for throwing people off the roof of buildings. See how far you can throw them. There's achievements for surfing on the roofs of cars. So you can hop on the roof of a car and do car surfing. There's achievements for, there's a whole like melee combat system. So you can do like, you know, DDTs and pile drivers and like, you know.
I'm pretty sure it's Ric Flair. He did this like crazy move and then like was down with a smile.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, you flip around the person and like punch them in the nuts and then like pose and like somebody takes a picture. It's just, dude, it's totally just fun.
And the thing I was going to say is I'm watching him cause all this havoc, you know, like the insane amounts of havoc. Like the reason tanks came is because he had done so much damage to the police at that point that they sent tanks. Like, it wasn't like, it keeps leveling up what they send after you. So it'll be like some dudes on motorbikes, and then it'll be like motorbikes, and then it'll be some guys in like armored cars, and then it's SWAT, and then it's the military, and then it's tanks. It's like they just keep escalating what they'll send after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I was like, man, this is awesome. You're causing so much havoc, and you're like kind of living forever. Like, it's hard to die, or not hard to die, but it's,
well, you can level all that stuff up. I'm immune to regular bullets.
I'm like, so what? You've been playing a while. You're just like super powered. And he's like, no, I've been playing for like 5 hours. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you're just doing whatever you want.
It throws out all the conventions of like open world gaming where you're like a relatively weak person and like you don't want to get shot. It throws all that shit out the window. It's like, you are pretty much a demigod.
Yeah.
And you have like almost unlimited ammo. If you want to get more ammo, it's over there. It's like $10.
Like, where is the end of the game, or where is like the...
Well, there's like 47 main story missions. And the story missions are all really well scripted, really well done. And you can break up. You can fly through the story in probably like 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
But then there's literally hundreds of side missions. Either you'll be flying in a helicopter providing support, or you'll be escorting someone, or there's missions where you have to throw yourself into oncoming traffic and see how badly you can get hurt.
Sure.
And there's all, you know, races and things like that. So there's all of those to kind of occupy your time. And as you buy property in this game, just like a GTA game, but what it does is every hour that you're in the game, all your property kicks you money back. So you never have to, like, you can go out and drive around the city for an hour, and I make like 20,000 cash just from driving around and like having fun while the game is actually just kicking me money. So it does a lot.
Like, it just encourages you to play.
It does.
Yeah,
it does a lot just for the genre, in that it throws away a lot of the old conventions that made that genre a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, it throws out the tedium.
Yeah. It throws out a lot of the boredom. Like, oh, here's another fucking escort mission. Well, it's like, it's an escort mission, but it'll take you 3 minutes and it's really easy. And also it's funny and you get to blow stuff along the way. You know what I mean?
Huh.
So definitely, like, if this game's ever on sale and you're looking for a good, like, just even multiplayer, if you both played, it would be insanely fun. I guarantee it. Guarantee, even if you're not a huge open world fan, it's great. And also, your avatar, completely customizable to the point where you can literally make any human being on the earth. Like, there's an infinite level of customization for your avatar in this game, which is awesome.
That is.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
So definitely check it out, or at least drop by my house and I'll show it to you.
Yep. Anyone that's listening, just
there you go. Yeah, come
on by.
Come on by. All right. So Matt,
that's
through some twist of, fame.
Should I say the real way or
no? Let's just tell lies. So you were given a screener for, Alcatraz.
I was,
the upcoming J.J. Abrams, you saw the pilot episode, correct?
I saw the pilot episode.
So tell us the brief premise of Alcatraz, 'cause believe it or not, I know nothing of it.
Okay. So, Alcatraz is J.J. Abrams' new vehicle that he's putting on TV in January. I think the 17th or the 12th, somewhere around there, is when it's coming out. And it follows, basically the storyline goes that Alcatraz in 1963 got emptied, right? I think it was 63 or 67.
Yeah.
I'm really bad with dates. I'm not good at memorizing things. Gets emptied out, and they moved all the prisoners to a different prison or to different prisons in general, and then they all kind of lived out their prison life somewhere else. And that was the end of it. Well, the twist in the storyline is that that's not actually what happened. What happened was there were two guards that went to Alcatraz, to, like, boated into the island to check on it. They get there, and everyone's gone. Guards, prison, or inmates, everybody just disappeared overnight. They were there the day before. They were gone the next day. No explanation.
But the
no
media
anything.
Spun it to make everyone believe that everybody...
Media never got involved. The prison, these two guys basically spun it, and then there's some group that we don't know who spun it also
okay.
to make this as if it never happened.
Like, okay.
This didn't happen. These people didn't disappear. Everybody moved on, and they all died somewhere else.
Okay.
So that's the premise of what's going on.
That's pretty cool already.
What happens is now one of the inmates appears, gets a phone call.
Has he aged?
No. Okay. He hasn't aged at all. It's exactly the same as the day he left. Gets a phone call, is given a gun, and finds out about the guy who put him in prison, who kept him in Alcatraz. He has like some things with his wife that all these issues and stuff. And this guy basically goes and hunts down one of the guards and then hunts down some guy and asks for a black velvet bag that the guy has, kills him and takes the bag and
okay.
leaves. That and then when they find him, they're talking about like, why would you do this? Why blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that's where the kind of losty aliasy thing where there's
yeah.
there's people controlling these inmates who are now coming back. It stars our good buddy from, I don't know anybody's name. Well, there's the guy from Lost, Jorge Garcia. It stars, I just
love
totally
that guy.
Blanked on his freaking name. Don't you love this? That I'm so bad with names, I can never remember them. From, we talked about
Geraldo him. Rivera.
No, don't pull that shit. From Jurassic Park.
Sam Neill. Yes.
There you go.
Jesus.
Not Geraldo.
He hires Jorge Garcia and the blonde chick that I don't know the name. I'm not going to bother looking it up right now. I feel like I can't remember names for shit. And they kind of get hired onto his agency that has no name that is on the lookout for these prisoners coming back because he says this guy's just the beginning. And that there's many more that are going to keep coming. And I believe it was some like 260-something people. And it looks kind of like Mystery of the Week where every week one of these guys is going to come back. They're going to go after him. They're going to solve it in some way. But in classic kind of Abrams fashion, there's these big strings getting pulled elsewhere that nobody knows what's going on.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's shot really, really well for sci-fi-ish kind of things that, you know, we would usually deal with really hokey looking effects and like kind of shittiness. Mm-hmm. This looks amazing. It plays more like a spy show than it does like Fringe, but it has that kind of weird fringy thing where you're like, something's going on, I don't know what it is, and it seems kind of supernatural.
Cool.
Awesome.
Do you think it's a little early, but do you think it's supernatural or sciency that's bringing these people back? Do you think
they don't hint at, I mean, they honestly really? Don't hint at anything.
Yeah, after all one right. episode.
This first
I
episode
I want to know
is,
the end. yeah. What first, is the end of this?
Here's the catch. Here's the thing. I am not generally a big overarching. I wasn't a Lost guy. I didn't love Lost. I mean, I watched it. It was okay. I just never really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't keep up with Fringe. I haven't been able to watch it at all. It's just never been a thing for me. I've never really watched these like big overarching storylines. I am hooked. One episode, I'm already like, this show looks fucking awesome. Like, there was nothing that happened in this show that I was like, that doesn't seem very cool. Like, I was like, yeah. This show's awesome, badass, like front to back. I mean, it was like tense the whole way through. It was like, it had awesome action. Like, the question marks that they're leaving are so much like fun, and you're like trying to guess at who it could be or what it is or who's good and who's bad. Like, you don't even know that yet at this point. It's just Sam Neill plays an awesome Gray character. Like, I actually like him from Event Horizon. It's one of my favorite like horror sci-fi movies, and he's that kind of like creepy character in this. Like, you're just not sure who he is or what he's doing, if he's good, if he's bad. You're just kind of going along with it because you have no choice at this point. But it is highly recommended. I hope this show keeps up.
When does it start?
Off.
When
it's
is
like
it really?
January? It's January 12th or 17th. It starts in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Crazy. January 16th is the first air date.
The actress who you were trying to remember is Sarah Jones, who was actually born right here in Orlando.
Really? I should be nicer
to her. Well, actually, Winter Springs. And she has been in pretty much every big television show, like Big Love, Wedding Bells.
I know her face.
Ugly Betty, Huff, Judging Amy, Cold Case.
So what's cool about her story is that both of her parents died and her grandpa was a guard at Alcatraz. She's now a detective for the force in San Francisco. And she grew up with her uncle, who is also, I think, also worked for the police. And he kind of taught her everything she knows and told her everything about her family. So in the middle of the episode, you find, and this isn't a spoiler because there's nothing to spoil at this point, but in the middle of the episode, you find out that her grandpa was actually an inmate at Alcatraz, not a guard, and disappeared along with everybody.
Bum, bum, bum.
So it's like they've already added that kind of like twist in there. And now you don't know about her uncle because now her uncle's lying to her whole life. Like, there's, it just starts like, it starts like notching away these kids. Like, they introduce everybody like, look at all these awesome people.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't know what the fuck any of them are doing. And you're like, oh my God. Like, it's just really
there's
awesome.
A lot going on here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I really think this is a win. This grabbed me a lot more than the whatever that spy series was Abrams put out last year. That
Undercovers. Yep.
That felt a little too run of the mill. And this feels more grab you. I think the Lost folk are going to eat this shit up. I think this is anyone who loved Lost Alley.
Sweet.
Because it looks like a huge story mixed in with a bunch of Mystery of the Week kind of get through the story stuff. So
cool.
I'm really excited about
Recommend.
It.
Set your DVRs, set your Hulus for your favorites.
Excellent.
Support this show so that it can keep going, because we all know what happens to shows that don't get supported.
They get moved to Friday night.
And then
they
die.
And then disappear in a sad, sad way.
All right. Well, all we have left is our open thread. We're going to talk about our best of the 2011s, and then we will be done. And this will be episode 45. And then hopefully we'll get back on schedule and do some normal stuff.
We will be right back.
All right.
All right.
Open thread.
We asked the question on Twitter, what was your favorite stuff of the year? It's been a kind of a crazy year.
Yes.
What was your favorite game? What was your favorite movie? What was your favorite television show? Just list some of your favorite crap.
Yes.
And we got some pretty solid replies, some of which did not paste properly. So we'll have to actually look at the Twitter feed. But did any of them actually paste properly? Yeah, they did. They're good. All right. So... let's start off with, let's put Matt on the spot. What was some of your favorite stuff this year?
All right. I have actually thought of this, thought
good.
About it.
Good.
I will list some things. Comic books.
Mm-hmm.
This actually started last year, but I think it picked up steam this year, would be the Uncanny X-Force Age of Apocalypse run that Rick Remender just did.
Okay,
and I'm not doing this because I work for the company. We reviewed the first comic, the number one, on one of our first podcasts. Remember, the art was Jerome Pena. It looks beautiful. The story followed Archangel becoming Apocalypse, and it was just done so well. And it was such
Did you say Archangel becoming
Apocalypse? They shoot a child Apocalypse in the face. It's amazing. The whole story. It's like a fan service to people our age because of what era we grew up in Marvel Comics. It's just like one after another of callbacks back then, and all the characters were written phenomenally well. The series was just done well. The art was always gorgeous and spot on. It just was done. It just is one of the best examples. And on time, which never happens in comic books. The thing came out every month totally on time without any issue and started double shipping. It was just mind-blowing. It shouldn't have happened. It worked. I don't know how. I think Rick Remender is amazing. It just was a fantastic series and was definitely my favorite comic book of the year.
Awesome.
With a close second of the Cobra, Death of Cobra run.
Yes.
That was also
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, I do too.
TV was bar none Louis. Louis is the best show on TV ever created. He is amazing. That's one thing we didn't talk about in the news.
Is that Louis Anderson?
No, it's Louis C.K.
Oh, okay.
And the show is just raw. It's done.
I don't even know what that show is.
Then you're missing out, dude. It is one of the best shows on TV.
Everyone tells me he's the best comedian around right now.
He is the best comedian.
I have never seen him tell a single joke in my life.
You're not a comedy guy.
Well,
I haven't either.
I'm not a comedy guy, though. That's the thing. It's like I love to laugh. I'm not like a horrible human being that just wants to cry. But I don't feel as if...
But you don't seek out comedians. And this has been the year of Louis. I mean, like, it wouldn't be... It's not like he's...
And he was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly a little while ago.
Right, but it's not like he's like Chris Rock. He's been around for... I mean, he has been around for 20 years, but he hasn't been at that level. This is the year that he's like just gone from a writer, comedian, road guy to like... just exploded. But the show, he writes, produces, edits, and directs the show by himself, all of those things. It's budgeted at like a couple hundred thousand per episode.
Wow.
I mean, it's mind-blowing that it gets pulled off even in that sense. But then it's done so well and the writing is so good. It's just an unbelievable show. I absolutely recommend it. It's incredible. My favorite of the year. Probably one of my favorite shows in a very long time.
Wow.
You know, I don't know. I had a favorite movie this year.
Movies were kind of lackluster.
Slumpy year for movies, I feel
like.
Yeah. I didn't go to too many of the summer blockbusters. I don't know that I really fell in love with any movies this year.
Well, First Class was this year. That was pretty good.
I missed it.
First Class was good.
I saw like Thor and Captain America. Those were clearly not my favorite movie of the year. They weren't bad, but they weren't like amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't see too many artsy movies. Like Young Adult was really good. I guess if I had to name a movie, it'd be that one.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but that's just recent. I think it's the
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun was pretty incredible. That might be up there.
It's up there on mine.
Birdemic. You guys saw the Birdemic.
Birdemic was definitely on there.
That's not as good as Hobo with a Shotgun, though. And then video games. Jeez. See, I missed this.
Do you know the girl from Birdemic follows us on Twitter?
Does she really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
She follows us on Twitter. And for Thanksgiving, I sent her a picture of a turkey and was like, I'm hitting this with a hanger in your honor. And she retweeted it and liked it, which I thought was hilarious.
Video games, I unfortunately have not gotten into this slew of fall games that everybody else got to play, which was Skyrim and SWTOR and Assassin's Creed. But that does not stop me from answering with my clear-cut choice.
Oh, man.
Batman Arkham City.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
clearly
game. Have you played that yet, Scott?
No. Man. I haven't started yet.
So much on our plates.
I think with the lack of playing some of the newer games that just got released... Batman Arkham City blew every other game I played this year out of the water. I mean, it just was awesome. It was like, I didn't want to stop playing. I kept wanting to talk about it. Like, it was every time I walk by Times Square, there's huge advertisements up in Times Square for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to play the game again. Yeah, like, it's so fucking good.
I want to go back definitely with that skins pack that just came out and do the Frank Miller
The
way through.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank Miller on like the hardest mode would just be
awesome.
Badass.
The hard mode's really fun once you get used to it. But yeah, so Louis definitely, Batman Arkham City definitely, and Rick Remender Run on Uncanny X-Force, which is out in trade now, by the way. P.S.
Awesome.
So pick it up and read it because it's good and they pay my salary.
Why don't we read some of our Twitter?
Let's do that.
Let's do it. All right, so Johnny Fuller. Who is a friend of ours, actually. Mm-hmm. You guys know Johnny. You know Johnny, Scott?
We ran into him at PAX East. You do. He was the drummer for DTM's band.
Skylanders. Yes. Skyrim.
Nope, that's not
Sky,
right.
Oh, it's the store.
Nope. Sky, yeah, it is. It's the electronics store out on...
Skycraft.
Hey, that band was actually really good.
Yeah, they were.
That pops up on my my iTunes every once in a while, and they had a song about zombies that I'm totally still digging on it.
No, they were awesome.
They were really good. I just many bands have broken up.
I kind of miss that other band sound. We're not talking about the other band.
That other band. I miss them too.
Screw them.
So Johnny says Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is his favorite game. Which is awesome, and hopefully we all play it sometime soon.
You and I can play Ultimate now.
For real. You have Ultimate now? Did you get it?
I bought it for you for Christmas.
And then you kept it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You
that's what the story was. Okay, awesome. I'm excited
to play
with you.
You were confused by that story?
Dude, you don't understand what's been happening to me.
All right.
I've been going through changes. Anyway.
Changes!
TV show. Louis. He agrees with you. Louis Anderson.
So fucking good. It's not good. Louis Anderson. Stop saying
Doesn't
that.
He do Family Feud?
He's dead.
Oh, he died?
Didn't Louis Anderson die?
Did he? I feel bad now.
Yeah.
Everybody that does Family Feud dies, right?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Movie. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I did not see that.
I want to see that.
I didn't see it either. So maybe Johnny will convince us to go see this. You know, a little bit.
He's apparently very much alive.
Is he? Louis Anderson's alive? Okay. See, now I don't feel bad.
Sorry, he's not dead. Don't
but he did Family
one.
Feud. But yeah, he didn't die.
And Louis C.K. is still alive too.
Yes, all the Louis are so, living and alive.
Man, well, that's good.
Sorry. Keep going. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. All right,
so Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And I was going to say, in a little strange bit of weird trivia, if you go to a convention and you, what's the game about the underground city, the underwater city that everyone loves?
BioShock?
Yeah, BioShock. Yes. Johnny's girlfriend is the BioShock Infinite girl.
Assuming they're still together.
They are.
We'll roll with that.
They're still together. They got to be. Come on, it's the BioShock Infinite girl. Why would you not be together?
All right.
All right, so... Dan, our good friend DTM. Dan, he kind of agreed with us here. He says it was a shitty year for film, or just subpar. Am I completely off base? Next year sure looks better. I don't disagree with this. I think this is a weird year for film. And like a lot of the things, I watched a lot of documentaries this year, and that's what I found myself watching. Kind of when I would go through my Netflix queue, and I would go through, you know, television shows and things like that, and I found myself watching a lot of like gritty hardcore. I just watched The Day on Earth, which was phenomenal.
Yeah,
and I watched a lot of documentaries on Afghanistan and stuff like that, which, you know, I have an interest in military history, so that was awesome. But I don't disagree with Dan. I think this was a weird year for films, and I found myself it was weird because growing up. And I'm not lying about this. I would almost go to a movie in the theater about once a week. And that's just, that was my pattern. And like, even my mom said, like when I was little, we would go to the movies every year on Christmas. And my mom was like, I don't feel like going to a movie this year. And I was like, I kind of don't either. So I don't know if it's because home entertainment has become superior to going to the theater or just because the movies have gotten less enjoyable.
I would guess that the quality of the movies are less enjoyable.
Well, and it's so... I mean, like, I'm not one to bitch about prices, but, like, when I take my wife to a movie and you just get, like, a soda and it's, like, $24, you're like, that's... I could go out and buy a couple Blu-rays.
Or you could go down to the Redbox and just pay a buck.
For a movie a month, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Did
so.
Did Black Swan come out this year? No. Or was that last year?
That was
late
last
year.
Black Swan. Mm. All right. Do you want to read the next one, Ryan?
We got like the Muppets. Did you
Ryan's?
Just say
Ryan? Ryan. I was reading Ryan's tweet, so I said Ryan.
Bobalian for those that
Bobalian.
Listen.
Bobalian. I haven't heard him referred to as Bobalian.
He says Arkham Asylum. We can talk about it when you guys have me on again.
Never.
That's up to Ash. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, no, it really is up to Ash.
We kissed and made up, literally.
That's sweet.
Good to know.
No, yeah, I would love to have Ryan back on the podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at lists of movies to see if we really missed anything, and I don't really feel like we did. Muppets, you know? I didn't see that. Anyways, keep going.
Where's the next one? The list is... What do you got there?
Well, what about yours, Scott?
Favorites?
Yeah.
I actually had to go into my Xbox activity to figure out...
What you played the most?
Yeah, what I played this year. And I think I've come up with a couple of games that I thought were we said earlier that Assassin's Creed was like good, but it's like, it had some problems or whatever. So I'm going to pick out a couple of games that I thought were sort of exemplary, I suppose.
Awesome.
I'm going to go with Dead Space 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think that was the beginning of the year.
It was.
Or maybe like last Christmas or something. But
no, it was like February.
You played it this year.
Yeah, I played it this year. Let's see. Bayonetta came out last year, but that was good.
Yeah.
Portal 2.
Ooh.
Which was...
Didn't play it.
Phenomenal. Actually, that was like the first game that... I don't really play a lot of games like twice. You know, like I'll finish a game and then I'm kind of done with it. I think I played through the single player story of Portal 2 like twice in a week.
Wow.
And like I just like totally like nerd charged through it. You know, like sweatpants and not showering and stuff like that. Trenched, which is now Iron Brigade.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it certainly has to be pretty close to our arcade pick, if not for, like, Bastion, which would probably be on Matt's list.
Yeah,
for...
I think Bastion beats Trench for me.
Yeah.
I love Trench, though.
Yeah,
Trench,
but I mean, so like those two games were, like,
Bastion
awesome.
Was really fucking good.
Let's see. What else did I want to put on the list? No, I mean, I think I'm just going to leave it at that.
Because,
I mean, because there were other games, like, you know, like I said, Assassin's Creed, like, Dance Central 2, head and shoulders above the rest, you know, like, Dragon Age 2, I thought was great, but, like, still not, like, not really, like, top kind of thing. Same with Uncharted 3, like, great game, but I think I still like number 2 better.
You know what game was super anticipated and I have not seen on a lot of best ofs?
What's that?
L.A. Noire.
Yeah, I mean... You know,
crazy hype behind that game and super anticipated, and then as really, I haven't seen a lot of people mentioning it.
It scored well. I think it just...
I think it because it was two games pasted together. It was like a Grand Theft Auto game like slapped on top of like that thing that was developed separately, which was like the interrogations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Granted, the story was great and all that stuff, but like it lacked like that polish that makes it like the next...
You think it came out at the wrong time? Well, no, I can't. I mean, it wasn't that early.
No, I just think it...
The game was great. It just lacked that special something.
It just didn't own.
Right.
It was too realistic.
Like when
it was too realistic. I think having like these are all actors and it looks exactly like actors. I kind of, after a while, I felt like I was playing like an old like Night Trap. Yeah. I was playing like an FMV game. You know what I mean? And I was just like, oh, like I kind of feel like I'm watching like. A really weird detective show from like the 80s or something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad. It was just like, I didn't feel as immersed as a game with non-real people, I suppose.
Huh. Yeah.
This is my take on it.
I mean, just think about what sets like a game like Bastion apart from other like isometric style games or two-stick shooters or something. You know what I mean? Like it's that polish, it's that extra thing. It's like the art style and the narration and the music. Like you would go download the Bastion soundtrack just because you want to listen to it, you know what I mean?
Not to sidetrack us, I'm just going to say this really quick. Have you guys seen Bastion in the browser?
No.
We'll do it after the podcast.
Really?
You're going to poop yourself.
Looks awesome.
Oh, just,
like it plays in like Chrome or something? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyways.
So for like...
Do you have movies? Anything else?
Yeah, I did. I really did like the Muppet movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I haven't seen it yet.
And I'm not just saying that because my wife would not agree with me if I didn't say that. But it was actually really good. And it's a movie, like, it would be a movie that you could take younger people to, but it also, like, speaks directly to people that grew up with the Muppets.
That's awesome.
And I think Siegel is one of our underappreciated comedy greats right now. I think he's
a good guy.
And it is, the movie is, like, sort of self-aware, and some of the comedy is, like, a little, like, childish, but, it, you know, still, like, it shows you that the Muppets are for kids.
Yeah.
And it... Kind of like the vibe of it kind of leaves you feeling like, oh, maybe we should be better people and not so cynical. You know what I mean?
That's good. Positive message. There's nothing wrong with that.
Let's see.
Your dog just licked my crotch, by the way.
Whoa.
Hey-o.
Speaking of like not having a lot of great movies, I'm going to put in my best of this year, the Redbox. Like just in general.
Yeah. You are really into that thing.
The fact that this year you could now rent like a video game for a buck. Like
no Redboxes in New York.
See, I think I finished Red Faction Armageddon. Like in 4 days for like $8, and that's great.
I did the same thing.
You know,
with
pretty
that
solid. Yeah. You know, like that's a win.
I mean, I only paid $4 for it, and then it broke entirely on me, and I returned it. So that's a win to me.
Yeah. So let's see. Comics. I started reading comics because of the new 52.
I have a comic for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm reading
sci-fi, hardcore sci-fi.
Oh, cool. I'm reading Suicide Squad, and
You like it?
Like, I don't know anything about comics. I really like this comic.
Cool.
Because it's just kind of like balls to the wall.
Awesome.
Destruction.
That should be the way it is, though. You shouldn't have to have a fucking
database
PhD
of knowledge
on
yeah.
comics to get into comics and read them and enjoy.
But
them.
I read like I picked up the comic because it looked like pure mayhem, and it's just pure mayhem. And I was like, this is fun.
Totally.
Like I don't have to get into it. I don't have to know anything about these characters. Like it's just craziness. Like
I would actually, if I could amend my list, I think I'd put the DC 52 in it. I think it was a really successful thing.
Awesome.
That's my list. You want to go back to some Twitter?
All right, and then sure. At Misha Beans says, discovering both Mass Effect 1 and 2 for the first time, never being spoiled back-to-back.
Man, that would be insane. Imagine if you could place yourself in a time capsule and then all of a sudden have both Mass Effect games to play back-to-back without ever being spoiled. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like, never being spoiled?
Well, she...
Like, never hearing what happens.
Oh.
Yeah, so she played them both back-to-back without
any
notions. So it's like you hear about two coming out, and you're like, well, let me play one first. Then you play through, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
And then it's like, whoa! Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine doing that with, like, three. Like, give one Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 to a friend and be like, behold.
Yeah, I mean...
Then again, I'm not friends with anyone who hasn't...
Have you gotten to do that with, like, anything recently? Like...
Not really.
I did that with Uncharted, sort of.
Did
like,
you?
And it was like, it blew my mind. Like, because you play them all, like, you just play straight. Like, you watch, it's like as if you were watching, like, the Indiana Jones trilogy for the first time, like, all three movies together. You'd be like, wow. I'm
trying to think. I don't even know if I've even really done that with anything, movies or anything. Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How about that?
Hmm. Early adoption.
Damn it.
Let's see.
All right.
Axel 99.
Yeah, Axel 99. Jesse Lamb says. Barely restrained excitement, David Fincher's Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I really want to see this. Really bad. I love David Fincher. I'm slowly realizing he's probably one of my favorite directors of all time.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good at what he does. I've heard nothing but great stuff.
Me
one
too.
Of my friends at work, Jackie, went and saw this, and she's read all the novels, and she said Fincher's version is amazing.
Yeah.
And she says he's almost 3 hours long, though.
It's two and a half. It's 237.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. It's 237,
so you have to, like, kind of bring rations, maybe a bag to
poo. From what I understand, I never read the books. From what I understand, the books and the Norwegian version of the movie is very are very surgical. Like, the way he writes and the way the books are, they're very, like, have you read the books?
No, I have them, though, no.
I've heard that they're very, like, you know, specific about everything. Very kind of done very dryly. Like, there's apparently, like, a shopping list for IKEA in there, and it just literally lists the things she bought and at what prices she bought.
Mm-hmm. That's a very Ian Fleming kind of thing to do in a book.
Yes, you've told us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, I've heard that Fincher basically took that and made it very compelling as opposed to surgical, and that's something I could see him
doing. Awesome.
What is DXHR? Not to sound like an idiot.
Deus Ex Human Revolution.
I did not love it.
She really, Jesse really liked Deus Ex. And also, of course, Skyrim. She's playing Skyrim right now.
I actually forgot I played Deus Ex this year. That's how much I was not impressed by that game.
I loved it. Yeah, but I liked it. Again, it lacked that extra special something.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Like, when DLC came out, I was like, please do not make me play this DLC. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, like, when I was done, I was glad I was done.
Yeah, when I was done, I was done.
Yeah.
I didn't want more. I was like, cool.
Never beat it. Moved on. I got halfway through and just kind of, I'm sure I'll beat it at some point. It's not that I dislike the game. It was a good game. It didn't do what I wanted it to do.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Harking back to an earlier episode.
Adam.
So, Anselime?
We need some, we need a pronunciation.
Uncharted 3 in 3D.
Ooh.
Yeah. For real, dude. I mean, we talked about Uncharted 3. There were scenes in the game that I thought were real.
Yeah.
You know, like, with the reflections in there. I couldn't imagine what this game would look like in 3D.
My new graphics card's 3D capable.
Really?
Yeah.
But you need that monitor, too.
Yeah, I think you have to have the fast refresh.
I don't have the monitor.
Yeah, that's the barrier, unfortunately.
I really didn't like the active 3D is weird to me, because if you look away, your eyes freak out. If you see it at, like, that's wrong.
Everything around you is dark.
Yeah,
you only get half the light.
It's very odd. But I still 3D. I'm not unsold on 3D. I'm not sold on 3D.
But, I mean, could you appreciate how somebody would be, like, totally have, like, a nerd boner for playing this particular game in 3D?
A gorgeous game in 3D with direction? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is, like, the flagship title, like, on, like, a probably...
Oh, I'm sure it's going to look great.
Just like Mario in 3D on their system
with their
junk, you know, looks great.
So, Midtown 583 says, gaming would go to Batman Arkham City, which we... I've already talked about.
Yes, quite a good game.
Movie would go to X-Men First Class.
I concur.
Which the two of you have seen, I have not.
Pretty great superhero film, yeah.
And TV is tied with something that holds my heart, Eureka and Being Human. I'm assuming the Being Human, he's talking about sci-fi version probably.
Yes,
that was
the sci-fi version.
Eureka, final season,
ooh,
unfortunately.
Ouch.
Such a good show, though. I mean, I think it's a good list.
I think he's got some good taste.
That's why
Jay Banks.
Right on the site.
Yes, he did. He wrote some stuff. Thanks. Please do it again.
Ash, do you want to do your picks before we get to our last responses?
I'm going to have some different stuff. For my multiplayer experience, I really enjoyed Gears of War, mainly because I got to play with my wife all the way through the whole campaign and with Derek and Derek's girlfriend.
Did you guys do it naked?
I think it was just panties. I had my panties on.
You had your panties on?
And she had her her long johns on. and we played all the way through, which was a phenomenal experience. The multiplayer in that game is hands down the best.
You're
flawless,
talking about the cooperative.
Cooperative, just because I'm over, I'm pretty much over like aggressive team deathmatch kind of gameplay. Yeah. I'm done with it. I've done all the Call of Duties, literally all of them, and there's nothing appealing about that anymore to me.
Yeah.
Cooperative is a different story because you can laugh and have a good time and things like Horde mode and being able to play four player co-op through the entire campaign.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sold me on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just that series in general, having read all the books and everything, I had a lot invested in that final chapter, and seeing it actually all play out was really, really cool for me.
Do you have another run in you?
Absolutely.
All right.
No problem. I'll gladly play. As long as I can play as like player three or player four.
Okay.
Yeah. Player one's always Marcus. So no. I don't want to be him again. Anyway. All right. So I'll definitely play that. As for other gaming experiences, there have been so many incredible games this year. I don't even really know where to begin.
Well, let me ask you. You probably logged 200 hours in Skyrim, but does that make your list?
You know, I have like a love-hate relationship with that game. First of all, I 100%ed it, and that's where the hate comes from.
Mm-hmm.
The last things you have to do to 100% that game are just agonizing. It's like, and I don't even know why at this point I really did that to myself.
Because you're so close. You're like, what the hell?
I had like the flu for 2 weeks and I was like miserable and I was just playing Skyrim and like coughing and just like, I felt like I was in like a house of the plague, you know, just this dark, dreary, like Skyrim world where everything is dismal. But it was a great game. It really was. I don't think it makes my list, though, for top.
Was it one of your biggest surprises, or was that Saints Row?
I was surprised by Skyrim. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it, like, at all.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, it was like...
And I logged well over 200 hours in that game, so I ended up really enjoying it. The world is gorgeous. What the game lacks, though, is a soul. Like, if you can imagine a perfect, polished world where... everything is very mechanical and dry.
That's the problem with Bethesda games, is that they lack soul because they're so big.
They lack soul in characters you should love, you don't love, you know, it's like you're married in the game, but your wife can say
two words.
Well,
you're always
kind
of a blank slate though.
Yeah. And that's the one big problem. On the other hand, I really did enjoy Dragon Age. It's not at the top of my list, due to like the errors of the dungeons and things that. After seeing how a game like Skyrim can generate 150 beautifully crafted dungeons that are all different. And then you go and look at Dragon Age, and unfortunately there's only like maybe a couple dozen at the most, and that's being generous. That makes for a little bit of a... slides it down my list, but I love the story in Dragon Age. I love the characters in Dragon Age too. Surprises of the year, Vanquish. I really enjoyed that from Platinum Games. That was at the beginning of the year.
Who took over the new Metal Gear game?
Oh, the fucking Warhammer 40K Space Marine.
Oh yeah,
fucking great! And these are just going through action games, you know, third person action games. That was a great action game. Was Red Dead this year?
No, that was last year.
Thank God.
Yeah,
God.
LA Noir was this year.
Yeah, LA
Noir.
Brain
would explode if it was this year. So yeah, I want to say Gears is probably my game of the year for me.
No Batman on the list?
Oh, Batman was phenomenal. Yeah, Batman was great. I just want more. You know what I mean? Like I want the thing with like Gears that's cool is it has all these different modes.
Yeah.
And you can play multiplayer. And like Batman, it's like once you beat the game, you can go through again.
That'll have a multiplayer next year.
I hope so. Or just something to kind of bring me back. The challenge modes. The achievements for the challenge modes are too deep. It's like you got to get like 75 badges.
That shit
to get,
is crazy. It's,
yeah, and that's just like hours of punching people. So I didn't really want to do that.
Awesome.
In terms
outside of games,
television, my favorite new series, definitely New Girl.
New Girl.
I
think that may have been the surprise of the
big win. Yeah.
I was not. I mean, we all put it down. I don't know. We haven't looked at Death Watch in a while, but we all put it down for lasting a full season, and it did, which is awesome. But I was not anticipating liking it so much.
I wasn't either. And just funny.
It is great. Yeah. Like, the characters in that show are just, they all make me laugh.
Did,
like,
you watch Christmas episode?
Of course.
Did you yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you not?
It's kind of endearing.
Did you not have a tinge of, like, oh, God, they're going to put the two of them together?
Oh, what's his face? The
yeah.
De Niro and face and they're always hinting at that.
I know, which is fine. I like the hinting, but they came really close this episode. I was like, oh, God, no, don't do it. And then
they must know,
like,
that. They
it.
Must know,
oh,
that that's what
they're
doing.
They
yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing it on purpose.
So New Girl was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In terms of films, like I said, the only one that, like, I literally was surprised about was Hobo with a Shotgun. I wasn't
so good.
Expecting to like it as much as I did, and it
so
reminded me
good.
Of, like, a really, really well done early 80s trauma film. Insanely violent, just a good time. But
yes.
I haven't seen a good movie in the theater in a really long time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Killer C, our buddy who always responds, and we like him.
Yes.
It's a guy, right? Colin. Yeah.
I think it is. Yeah.
I have not played this game, and I'm actually really interested in it.
I started looking into this, by the way, and I'm really interested
now,
close.
Too. I'm real close. Yeah. It's called Rocksmith. And he said, after first tuning, it throws some notes at me. All of a sudden, I realize I'm playing. I can't get no satisfaction on real guitar.
This came up during holiday season as one of the quests, like a sale item. And the problem with this game is that the barrier for this game is that it's $80 because you get the game plus, like, a dongle that allows you to plug in any guitar, mm-hmm. and then
which is cool to me because I have guitars.
And the guitar basically. The dongle translates your notes into, like, something that's readable to the game, which is why you have to tune the guitar before every song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, make sure that it is in tune or whatever.
I think this is definitely the next step in music games for that. It was either going to go more hardcore or more, like, arcadey.
Yeah.
And going hardcore, it's just so specific. I can't see it selling, like, gangbusters.
Yeah, it is very specific.
Well, it's a trainer. It's not. It shouldn't even be. And this is, like, a couple other podcasts said this, but it shouldn't really be marketed as a game because it's really not. It's more to teach you how to play guitar.
Yeah.
Right.
And give you scores for your playing.
I could be totally wrong about this, but I think that this game actually will change its difficulty as you're playing the song.
Really? On its own? Like, cool. It just, like, progressively changes on you?
I think.
Let's just make that up. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. No, this game totally does that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, like, I've seen videos of people playing and, like, how they show the progression from, like, playing single notes to, like, power chords to, you know, so on.
Don't they also hook up electrodes to you and shock you when you don't play it right?
Oh, that would be great. Because then you'd really get it right. Behavioral conditioning.
How many hours are we at? We hit 3 hours.
No, we're at 2 hours, 5 minutes.
Well, sorry, we've been away for so long, everybody. That's all we had. We have nobody else, so
yeah.
We don't plan on still being away for very long.
Nope.
But I think I'm settled in New York. Ash is through the flu. Scott is killing things with robots.
Yes,
I'm on Easy Street now.
So we're back. It's going to be 2012. You guys looking forward to 2012?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good year.
Let's let this go a little bit longer. I really, just real quick, what are you anticipating most in 2012? Game, movie, TV, anything.
Fucking
can be anything.
Mass Effect and Avengers, man. Mass Effect 3, Avengers. You sold me an Alcatraz, so we'll say Alcatraz, a new show.
Yep.
Same. Same list.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, not minus Avengers, but yeah. I mean, I want to play SWTOR. I want it to get better.
Prometheus.
Like, I want to see more stuff.
I think next year is the year of the movie.
I hope so.
Prometheus, Batman, Avengers. This is some big-ass movies coming out next year. Like, movie theater movies, too.
It's going to be a good year.
I think so.
I agree.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening again. We're looking forward to 2012, and we had a good 2011, I think.
Yep, and we have Twitter and Facebook, as always. And
follow us at NerdAppropriate. Go to Facebook.com/NerdAppropriate, Googleplus.com/NerdAppropriate.
Heyo.
Which is actually plus.google.com/NerdAppropriate. I'm
going to
start amping that up because we can. You can email us either Ash, Scott, Matt at NerdAppropriate.com. Go to NerdAppropriate.com.
Familiar theme here.
Like us on iTunes. You just go, you click a star rating, which is always 5. Otherwise, I don't get paid. And then give us a comment. That really does immensely help, as much as you might not think it does. It moves us into the weird iTunes universe that I don't understand. Happy 2011. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy
Hanukkah.
Later, guys.
See you later.
We'll be right back.